Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Red Hot Comic Book Movie News, shooting up your butthole. The Weekly Planet, The Weekly Planet.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, official podcast of comicbookmovie.com, where we talk movies, comics, TV shows. My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday. With me as always, my co-host, Nick Mason.
It's me. I'm here.
You are here.
What do you reckon about, I was just thinking about this on the
politics.
Way over.
Politics? Well, I've got some stuff now. What do you say?
Oh, no. Well, even more controversial, what do you think about this clown epidemic? It's been happening recently.
I don't know. I feel like, is that something you'd be afraid of?
No, I think it's great.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of
you're,
it.
You're a proponent?
I'm a big fan of weird internet things, like, because it's spread via the internet.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Somebody's dressed as a crazy clown and somebody else is like, yeah, that sounds pretty good. I'll do that.
If a clown ran at you,
yeah,
would you punch them in the face?
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah, I know, right? it's you kind of got a license to do it.
I think so.
Because you're like, this isn't a real situation. I can technically do anything. You might have a knife. I don't know.
That's well, a lot of the time they do.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I mean, I'm sure there are people who have already taken it too far.
Oh, yeah.
And so there'll be some sort of, like, governments worldwide will start making anti-clown legislation.
Right,
whatever.
Right.
But until then, I'm like, this is fun.
Well, clowns aren't fun anymore, are they?
In a way, they were never fun.
Well, yeah, because at a children's party now, nobody gets clowns. It's all superheroes.
It's all branded content, yeah.
So that must be hard for, like, if you were, like, a legitimately good clown.
There was a Guardian article written by a legitimate clown, and he's like, stop. Don't judge everyone by the actions of just some of these clowns. They're not even real clowns.
I think
his name was like, Bim-a-lim-spim or
that,
something.
That hurts, though. I think you'd have to transition into magician.
Oof.
No, don't you think?
Yeah, I guess
so. No one's afraid of a magician.
Well.
Necessarily?
Mm.
I mean, an evil magician.
Yeah,
like an evil wizard, maybe,
sure.
They
can bloody cut you in half.
That's a very good point.
Anyway, no, because I just read an article how there's a guy who's decided to start dressing as Batman and hunting down these clowns. See, now this clown hunter's happening? But also, he's
how many are there that he's knocking out clowns every
night? I don't know.
I
think, yeah, I don't know. Probably none. I think he's just in it for the publicity. But
no.
I mean, here's the thing, though. If you none of them are the Joker. They're like birthday clowns.
Yeah.
I feel he shouldn't be Batman. I feel he should be like, if he wants to be like some sort of armored superhero, he can do that, but don't be Batman.
Yeah, Batman doesn't beat up birthday clowns.
That's right, exactly. Anyway.
I'm trying to think. Sometimes he does.
Remember at New Year's, and I was working, and I ran into that guy like dressed in a Hessian sack.
That's a crowd favorite.
Wielding.
Oh, that. Yeah. I thought you meant the clown in the van story.
Oh, no, that, but well, oh, jeez. Well, I'm like a clown magnet.
Remember,
like, in New Year's, I was at work and I drove past a guy,
yeah,
like all dressed in like Hessian sack, wielding flaming chains.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe that was a harbinger of things to come. You
potentially,
know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm.
Well, someone's got to put a stop to it. Why not a guy dressed like Batman?
Yeah.
Or you.
Or that flaming chains guy.
Yeah. Also, if you punch a clown in the face, don't say we told you to.
Yeah, okay.
That's something that we may choose to do, but we don't endorse it.
Mm.
What are we doing here? Justice League.
You should punch a clown. Just punch some clowns.
Justice League.
Yes.
It's coming up.
Yeah.
We know that.
Mm-hmm.
We got a photo this week of Mera or
yes.
Mera. How do you say it?
I say Mera.
Yeah, I say Mera as
okay.
well.
That's a relief.
Thank God.
One of those things you don't see, you never say.
You never say it.
And you're almost like, oh, countdown to having to say it on a podcast forever. Oh, no. Got to flip a coin. Where are we going to go with this?
That's right. Mm. So that's her from Justice League.
Yeah.
Now, the Aquaman.
The wife of Aquaman.
Exactly.
And a person in her own
and
right.
And a person. Well, she is a character that tried to kill Aquaman initially.
Yeah.
Or say, Americans say Aquaman, but we don't say it like that because we say Aqua.
It's one of those things that I used to say Aquaman.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There's no Owen, it is there, Mason.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I know that now.
But like the Aquaman isn't very comic accurate, which I'm okay with. I think he looks great. I think he'll do, I think it would do a great job, put it that way. But this one is like, that's dead on.
Very accurate.
Yeah, I like it a lot. So what does that tell you about the movie, Mason? What does it tell you?
Nothing. It tells just literally nothing. She's like standing on some rocks or the shore or something.
The rocks of the shore, yep.
She's probably just going to wave him away. Yeah. He goes to...
Or go with him, because maybe. She's also from the water.
Mm-hmm.
Man, what a world, eh?
Mm-hmm.
You can't see. I wonder if she's got the eyes, because you know his eyes are different, because he's got underwater man eyes.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
But, you know, it remains to be seen.
Remains to be seen. But, I mean, she follows exactly the format of all these superheroes, which is kind of, it's like the comics.
Yep.
It's got more, like...
Lines?
It's got more segments and lines.
Oh, okay, right, yeah, yeah.
Segments.
There is a lot of segments going on, yeah. No, I like it. I think it's...
Me too.
It's not a bad thing. Let's all press on.
Who is that actor?
That's Amber Heard.
Oh, it is too, okay.
Johnny Depp's ex,
yes,
I guess now.
Very much so.
Yeah. I went to the Doctor Strange IMAX thing this week.
Thanks for the invite.
I tried to get you an invite. And they said there was no room, but there was so much room. Like, so much. That was shockingly busy.
Yeah, okay.
Like, crazy busy.
Was it the Jam Factory?
No, it was at IMAX.
Oh, okay.
Which is even your side of town. It would have been easier for you to get there. Also, they didn't tick my name off. I just walked in.
You just walked in, right?
Yeah.
Hot tip for anyone who wants to sneak in on a movie premiere.
Just walk in.
Yeah.
I missed Benedict Cumberbatch because he did a little talk at the start. He's like, I'm an actor in this or whatever. I don't know. I missed it. What did he say? I don't know.
But not live.
No.
Okay.
Though in some places, I think they brought out the director and maybe him as well. Not here. In a more important part of the world. And
when they couldn't get Cumberbatch, they just got Martin Freeman.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Who's more famous, though? It's probably Cumberbatch.
It's Cumberbatch.
Martin Freeman's done bigger movies, though.
But I think he's a more famous that guy.
Oh, okay, right.
Like, he's a very famous... Oh, it's the guy from the... I remember him from The Thing.
Martin Freeman is in the most... One of the biggest movies of the year, Mason. And arguably the most pivotal part, Civil War.
That's true.
Did you forget he was in it?
No, he's the bloody administrator.
Yeah, he's the... He's the pen pusher.
He's the bloody bean counter.
That's right.
And he does a heck of a bit of acting towards the end when he's like, you didn't do anything here, did you, Zemo?
Zemo's like, well, I did.
And he's like, ooh. He gives very good. Martin Freeman gives very good ooh
face.
I didn't think this through face.
No,
ooh.
He didn't.
Shouldn't have been so smug face. Ooh. Now they're taking my face.
Ooh. Yeah. So, yeah, look, it looked... I wish I didn't see it.
Oh, well, good.
Because it was...
Well, thanks for not inviting me. Sincerely. But I'm locked into this manner of speaking now and I can't get out of it. But genuinely, thanks for not inviting me.
Well, it was 10 minutes, I think, of the movie footage and it was kind of...
But it's not the first 15
minutes.
It was 15
assorted
minutes.
It's closer to 10.
Okay.
But, so it's kind of... You get a bit of his origin... I guess minor spoiler alert, but all this is in the trailers as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, you get him kind of seeing the Ancient One, and then you get some fucking head-spinningly trippy. I've never seen anything like it.
And this, okay, and you've seen the movie Inception.
Yes, it is like Inception times 100. Like it's, and I love Inception. I think Inception's great, but this is like next level. He's like tumbling through dimensions, and there's bits where he's like his fingers grow hands and then those hands on the fingers grow more hands and then he gets engulfed by hands. And I actually got, because it's on IMAX, and I'd recommend, if you can see it on IMAX, I'd say probably do. I actually got vertigo, like a slight sense of vertigo.
Wow, okay.
And I don't have like a weird crippling fear of heights or anything, but it was just, it was really, remember that bit in Ant-Man when he tumbles through the weird dimension?
Yes, I do.
It's like that. It's on acid.
Huh.
Yeah, so...
Or on steroids.
Or on steroids, sure.
Or on something.
On something. But, yeah. People might be like, oh, this is a good thing to get high and go and see.
Uh-huh.
Probably don't.
Okay,
like,
sure.
You will spin right
out. If it's going to be 2 hours of this, maybe not. Okay.
But no, look, that side of it, I think it's going to be worth the price of admission.
If you do, have a support network work with you and drink lots of water.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Orange juice, apparently, if you take mushrooms. Apparently, that's a good... counterbalance.
Okay, right.
I don't know whether that's a fact, so don't quote me.
Yeah.
Look, the character stuff, he's very Tony Stark.
Yes.
Quippy and whatnot, which I don't love, if I'm honest, but it's not...
They need a replacement.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I think it is. I think they don't know how long Robert Downey Jr. is going to be, you know, around.
Yeah.
I think they might be doing another Civil War down the line. I think we're going to be getting a follow-up and maybe it'll be Captain Marvel.
Are people loving Civil War 2?
Not overly. I was initially. I'm like, this is great. And now I'm like, this is fine. Like, that was, that's how it went. It kind of got, and it's kind of like, who's fighting who for what reason? Like, the line was very clear at the start of it, mm-hmm. and in the original Civil War.
Yeah,
but mm-hmm. this, it's kind of gets real murky, but not in a like, oh, who's right or wrong. It's just who's with who. Like,
oh, that, sure, okay,
that's,
right.
That's what it came down to. It's not terrible, but yeah. So I think we might get a Carol Danvers Doctor Strange one, or even a Carol Danvers Captain America. Or whoever. I think we're going to get another one.
Okay,
like
sure.
Maybe 4 or 5 years from now.
Because ultimately what we actually want is superheroes fighting each other.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because what are they going to do, fight Marvel villains?
They're just going to tumble into a vortex or another dimension, as they always do, yeah, or something. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. But look, I think this wasn't for me to see, because I'm going to see it regardless. But that's, I guess, true. It is, because then I tell people that it's good, I guess.
Yeah.
And some people listen. But apparently it's tracking really well opening weekend. It's something like 55 million to 75 million US opening, which is good for a character that nobody...
What do they base that on, considering...
Pre-ticket sales, and then it's times by whatever.
Oh, I see. Yeah,
I don't know exactly.
Okay. Okay, good.
I'm not a mathematician, Mason. You know that about me.
Not even a mathematician.
No,
maybe that's what this movie's for, mathematicians.
Yeah.
What are the magic effects looking like?
Amazing. Okay. Really, really good. The hand movements integrate really well with... what he's doing.
Does it look like the magic is going to make any sense?
No. But what I saw an interview with Kevin Feige, mm-hmm. where he was talking about, I think it was him, maybe it was somebody else, I don't know. Anyway, somebody at Marvel said it's not so much they don't need to explain the magic, they just need to have it make sense in the context of the universe.
I guess that's true.
Yeah. Because I don't need to know how Thor's hammer works or
no,
whatever.
That's true. Yeah. And I guess my question was, if they're going to replace Iron Man with Doctor Strange, they're replacing technology with magic.
Yeah.
But I guess when you think about it, Iron Man's suit really... does whatever it
wants.
It
does whatever, yeah.
Like, there's ultimately no rules. You know, it's just got missiles and lasers and repulsors in it, and it can break up into bits, or it doesn't, or...
He can exit it from any direction.
Any direction now, right? Yeah. He can slide out of the side, or crazy like.
That's
right.
Well, go on.
No, that's it. That's all I have.
I was just going to say, there's a bit very Iron Man-esque where he tumbles off a balcony and the cape goes after him and catches him.
Right.
So that's very kind of Iron Man suit kind of thing.
Yeah. So as long as there's some rules, as, you know, in terms of...
Yeah, I think, there's obviously rules to magic. I'm not exactly sure what they are. But I don't think that's going to be a problem.
Yeah. And I also think in terms, like, if you think of the first Iron Man movie, he is wearing a suit that is sort of bulletproof, but it isn't, but whatever. But, you know... Narratively, that movie works because he builds the first suit.
Yeah.
It's destroyed. He builds a second suit. It has some problems. He overcomes the problems.
Yeah.
The villain builds his own, and then he hasn't thought it through far enough.
Yeah.
Which is why that suit freezes up in upper atmosphere and blah,
exactly.
blah, blah. So as long as there's some rules built at the start, and then they follow the rules, then it's fine.
Exactly. Also, there's hints at a larger villain in another dimension.
Like physically larger?
Yes.
Like Egg Foo?
Like Egg Foo, maybe. I couldn't exactly...
Devil Dinosaur.
I would
Is it Mephisto?
Probably.
Or Dormammu?
Yeah, but probably. Okay. One of those probably.
One of those guys.
It didn't look like anybody I knew, but Steve. It's all very Steve Ditko-esque.
Yep, okay, great. It,
for the visuals alone, it's going to be incredible. Who knows how everything else is going to play out.
Yeah.
But look, if you're listening to this, you're probably going to see it anyway. So
Yeah.
Are you going to see it? Maybe I won't give you a ticket to this either.
No, I'm listening to this. I'll buy it with my own hard-earned money.
Good stuff. Yeah. You should. Well, Mason, speaking of buying things with your own hard-earned money.
Okay.
You're going to go see the Rogue One trailer movie? The movie? Because there was a trailer, but will you see the movie based off this trailer?
Yes.
Good. What about this trailer did you like? The new one.
Look, what I didn't like is we see Ben Mendelsohn's character like cowering in fear in front of Darth Vader,
right.
Which puts paid slightly to my theory that he is a robot.
Is that a bit where he's all wet?
Yeah, and
that's
he's
not
all,
him.
Ugh.
That's
this different guy.
That's the other dude.
Oh, then
the other
my theory's
man.
Back on.
Yeah, he's but he does say some stuff.
Yeah,
not an Australian accent.
Mm-hmm.
Boo.
Yeah.
That's okay. How many things did you miss, Mason?
Most of the things, if I'm honest with you.
If you're perfectly honest. Did you miss it? They said the title of the movie.
Oh,
the
I didn't miss that. You can't miss that. Oh. And they put it in the middle of the trailer too,
yeah.
which is interesting.
Do you like that?
Yes.
Okay, good. I'm sure there's a supercut online of everybody saying the title of the movie and the whatever.
The game is called Huzzah.
Yeah.
When somebody says the title of the movie in the movie, you stand up in the theater and you scream Huzzah.
Okay, good.
That's how it works.
Is that a real game? Or is that something you made up?
No, somebody else made it up. I don't
okay,
know.
Good. Well, I like that a lot. I think... As with the other trailers, this has a really good sense of scale.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the shots of the Death Star are always kind of like, it's so close that it's kind of looming over you, or it's looming over a planet, or, or whatever. Even seeing Darth Vader like storm out of the fog or whatever. Like he's, it's, I don't know. I think it's really interestingly shot. Like even the, like the feet stomping of the, they're not AT-ATs, they're something else. They're a different variation on them, but whatever. But like, oh man, it looks incredible.
Do you think this has given enough people, do you think this has given people enough information to kind of extrapolate the entire plot at this point?
Yes. If you look into it, maybe. I think there'll be a few surprises along the way in terms of who dies, you know, how they get. Yeah, I don't think. No, not too much. I think it's okay.
We get we get another Mads Mikkelsen role.
Yes.
Because he's, what's his face?
What's his face?
Do you think they're going to cut out that line? Because in the last Doctor Strange trailer, we've mentioned the who's on first jokey joke thing. Do you think they're going to cut that out for the
movie?
I think they might.
It's one of those things that could be. It's like the Ant-Man line.
Yeah.
I didn't think of it. I don't like it either or whatever. Was that in the movie?
No, they took it out.
They took it out, yeah. It's potentially.
Yeah. Anyway, so Mads Mikkelsen is...
Galen Erso.
But he's not the designer of the Death Star.
He's...
I feel he's the designer of the laser.
Yeah, it's. I think it is that way. Well, there's a prequel book coming out, which I will read. It's called Catalyst. And it comes out this time next month.
Okay.
Where it chronicles his family's kind of journey. And what the synopsis of it is, so I guess it's a minor spoiler, but not really. It's a book. You can't spoil a book, can you?
No, there's no way. I mean, you can open it up and see words, but what do those words mean?
They're all jumbled, aren't they?
They're all jumbled about.
But he's in energy research.
And okay,
energy
sure.
focusing. And the Separatists, because if you remember in the Clone Wars, there's the two sides.
Yep.
They try to kidnap him, presumably to use his technology. And then Krennic, who's Mendo, saves him. And he's kind of indebted to the Empire.
Right,
so
okay.
So then Mendo goes to find him and be like, well...
We couldn't get the laser to work.
Yeah.
We built this big space station. We're like, it's kind of pointless. What could we put in there? Put in the middle of it.
I don't think it was... I think they built the station around the laser.
Okay.
I think it started because that's a flashback where they go and get him. Mm-hmm. That's 20 years prior, presumably just after the Clone Wars.
Right,
or the tail end. Uh-huh. So he's been doing that for 20 years while Felicity Jones has been running amok.
Okay, sure.
Or whatever she's been... Uh-huh. She's been kind of doing, because you got to remember this time as well, the general public think that the Empire are a good thing.
That's true.
And there's
like
a gradual shift in perception.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of that. If you read any of the books, Mason, which I know you do, even though the words are all jumbled or whatever, but you get that sense, like Lost Stars and there's a few other ones and even Star Wars Rebels.
Mm. What does the Empire do?
That's so bad.
That's so bad.
That's mostly destroying stuff.
I mean...
Really. There's a lot of enslaving of races.
You don't really see that, do you?
No, you don't.
There's a lot of... I mean, sure, they blow up Alderaan.
They killed like 10,000 odd Jedi.
Yeah, but I mean...
Who cares?
But I mean, like, most of what they do
is
just blowing up planets to get the rebels. If
the
rebels weren't all rebelling, what would they be doing?
It's a lot of enslavement. It's a lot of like installing their systems in government where they're not wanted.
Okay.
A lot of bureaucracy.
Ugh.
Yeah, there's no, like the Senate is a sham.
And sure,
because it's only just dissolved at the start of A New Hope.
Yeah.
But it's supposed to be set up in this.
Well, they sound pretty good to me. Bring on the Empire. That's
on
what I say.
On board. Great uniforms.
That's true.
Did you notice?
Great formations. Everybody's always walking
in
formations.
They are in a good formation. Mm-hmm. Did you notice what's his name? The Mendo. There's a few scenes where he's wearing like a Imperial Windbreaker.
No, but that sounds great. That's very original Star Wars throwback.
Absolutely.
I feel,
It looks like, you know, one of those Dryzer bone.
Sure,
But it's white and Imperial.
Wow. I hope we see the whole swath of Imperial uniforms. Like there's workout gear.
There's a summer sarong.
Oh, so good.
What do you think about? How much Vader do you think we'll get in this? In time wise. I'll do this. I'll move my hands, and you tell me when to stop.
No, go back. Yeah, that amount.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Small amount.
Mm-hmm. So you reckon maybe 10 minutes?
Not even 10 minutes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Closer to 3 or 4.
Yeah, I reckon somewhere around there.
I'm thinking 15-ish in total. And a lot of it's going to be him just cutting people in half.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
I reckon there might be just that. I reckon he's going to... No, I reckon he's just going to show up. People are going to cower in fear.
Yeah.
Guys that look like Mendo.
That looks...
Mendo.
Yeah, absolutely. That looks like his entrance where maybe something goes wrong and he's like, right, mm-hmm. I'm going to sort this out.
Yeah, yeah, I think maybe there's that, and then there's he shows up at the end to mete out punishment to everybody who failed him.
Right, right.
And that's it.
Mm, probably a few people then. Yeah. Uh-huh.
But you think there's going to be a battle scene where he's severely damaged?
Well, it's a possibility, yeah. I think okay. It's absolutely a possibility. Because even in this, he moves very swiftly.
Sure,
and the
okay.
next one, he's not that's as true, yeah. much. Yeah, but that is also the sign of the times and the filmmaking and yeah, whatever. So yeah. that might not necessarily mean anything. There is something I missed in this trailer, and I'm annoyed, Mason.
Because you did a Things You Missed video.
I did. And what was it? You can see in the X-Wing scene, you can see a Rebel fleet behind them.
Okay.
There's like a whole lot of Mon Calamari cruisers.
Ooh.
If you're familiar from Return of the Jedi. And you know the medical frigate?
Sure, okay.
From Empire, do you remember that?
Vaguely.
Looks like a big kind of toothbrush.
With the Bacta tank in it.
No, that weird medical droid that gives Luke his hand is.
Oh, sure, right, okay.
There's yeah. two of them, mm-hmm. which means one of them is probably going to explode. Because there's only one later.
Yeah, sure, that's true.
Later down the road.
Yeah.
But no, and there's also some ships that they look like, you know, the original ship, the first ship you see in Star Wars, except the front's like turned on its side, like yeah. a hammer.
The blockade
yeah,
runner.
It's like mm-hmm. a variation on that. You see okay. them in Rebels as well. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was really
just
interesting.
The blockade tapper.
Yeah, that's right.
The blockade,
give it a nudge.
The blockade doorbell ringer. It's not as good.
Yeah, but no, I thought that was really interesting.
The blockade,
as well.
The blockade doorbell ringer, and then you open the door, and there's a big brown paper bag that's on fire, and you
Bantha
step on, Bantha poo, exactly.
But did you see the fallen Jedi statue?
No,
that's at the very start. It looks like a mountain range.
Okay,
but it's like a bearded Jedi, and it's crashed to the ground. It's like oh, Lord sure. of the Rings sized kind of statue, you know, those kind of ones. Because uh-huh. that planet. Which I think the city's going to be destroyed. That's like a Jedi mecca where
sure,
you go and
okay,
get your
right.
crystals and uh-huh. make your bloody lightsaber or whatever. Yeah. But did
a perfect secret stronghold for the Jedi. The only clue, a giant statue of a Jedi.
But no, but I think it's been occupied by the Imperials and they're mining it for crystals to put in the Death
oh, okay,
Star
right,
or whatever.
Sure.
That's what I think. Anyway, but I thought initially that this does a good job of showing people when the time period it is.
Still, it still doesn't.
Yeah,
it still does not.
Yeah, I think it's... There's just some people who just aren't going to know. And
yep.
and that's just, that's the way it is, man.
Yep.
You can't explicitly.
They're going to put it, even when they put it in the opening crawl in the, you know, after the events of the Clone Wars and before the blah, blah, blah,
yeah.
this happens, people are still going to come out of the movie going, when is Darth Vader going to meet Rey or whatever?
Yeah, exactly.
So
when is Darth Vader going to meet Rey though? That's a really good question, Mason.
Mm.
We should do a podcast on that.
Okay.
It's a shame we're doing a Harry Potter one today.
That's fine.
We got one more bit of news. There's other bits of various news, but we're trying to not do that, aren't we? I guess. Fantastic Beasts has been expanded to 5 movies this week.
Five movies of Eddie Redmayne going, ugh.
Well, that's the thing.
Or they change the main protagonist.
Apparently there's going to be... Well, the story is that they might touch on the Wizarding War, which is exactly what we talked about last week.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting.
Do you think our friend Raw Collings' video on gay wizard Hitler possibly pushed them over the edge into expanding to 5 movies? I think so, probably.
I'll link that below. He does great work. He also does the Twitter account and a bunch of other stuff. But he makes some great videos, and he took that segment. So if you want to know what we're talking about, if you missed it, bloody check it out.
Mm.
But
all right, I'd watch
I'm
that.
All for that.
Yeah,
get Redmayne out of here.
Yeah.
Because in the last trailer for Fantastic Beasts or whatever, they mentioned Grindelwald and Dumbledore, I think. We talked about this last week. So that's what I want to see. I want to see Wizard Bloody World War II, mate.
Yeah, okay.
That's what I'm all about.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Harry Potter. Now, we've been promising that we'd do a Harry Potter episode for a while.
Yep.
Maybe we should make this a yearly thing, seeing as we're getting five movies, though every 2 years. So, like, you know, we had our yearly Hunger Games Doctor Who episode.
Sure, yeah.
And now that's out the window because one of those stopped.
And also, if you listen to all those, you notice our distinct loss of enthusiasm over the course of... Should we team this up with another franchise? Maybe not this time around because we don't have another thing.
But. Yeah, well, I think we need to do two movies at a time because there's eight in total. Mm-hmm. So presuming this podcast keeps going.
Yep.
I guess we'll do this for 8 years.
Yeah, sure.
No, 4 years because if we do two at a time.
Yeah, nice.
Mathematics, Mason. Mm-hmm. It's important. So we're going to talk about the first two Harry Potter movies directed by Christopher Columbus, known for both circumnavigating the globe.
Mm-hmm.
And making the worst Harry Potter movies.
Isn't that his fault, though?
No, I don't think it is. I think it's a great start, but I just...
I feel I've asked this every time we bring up Harry Potter. Mm. You've read the books.
Yeah.
That's the question. No, the question is, are the Harry Potter books written assuming that the readers get older as the books?
Yeah, absolutely.
So the language in the books is more simple in the earlier ones?
I would say maybe not... So much of that. They're all relatively easy to read, but the complexity of the story kind of builds.
Okay, sure. Right.
And so from that perspective, it makes it easy to understand if you've read the previous ones and you're getting older as you're,
okay,
as
cool.
you're reading them. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I'm an adult and as a result, I'm not getting any older ever. Like, I've hit peak age and
that's
stopped.
That's true. Yeah. So you've plateaued.
Mm-hmm.
So you've obviously watched The Philosopher's Stone / Sorcerer's Stone, which mm-hmm. they changed for the US release of the film
mm-hmm.
because apparently they weren't sure that people in the US knew what a philosopher was. I mean, the book was already a hit. I don't think really necessary. And they also there's alternate takes for the lines and they dub it out in the actual movie.
Great.
And J.K. Rowling says, because it was a kind of her first kind of, well, it was her first time kind of being involved in the film.
Uh-huh.
She wishes she had
put her foot down.
Change it. Because everything else, I'll talk about it more towards the end. She puts her foot down on a lot of stuff and these movies are better for it, I feel.
Okay, yeah. More towards the end, I guess.
No, I mean from the start.
Okay, right.
There's stuff that she said, no, do this.
That's very interesting because in watching these last two, or the first two rather.
Yeah.
There's stuff that is not great in these first two movies.
Sure.
Acting.
Yeah.
Probably both.
Yeah.
But there's clearly a lot of love built into like the world and the effects and the
totally
and you know they're great for their time
totally
but it's there's so much detail in this world and all the you know the little the alleys people go down and all the you know that sort of stuff. If you think of like a kind of a kids movie at the time, are there other kids movies that put in this level of detail or is this kind of like a
not with this budget?
Mm-hmm.
No, I can't. I mean, unless you count like a Star Wars movie or whatever, but this is really they're kids' movies.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why they did. I was actually at school when this one actually first came out, but even then I was at the age where I was like, fuck this.
Okay, sure.
And I hadn't read them at that point.
Uh-huh.
And I think I saw the first two before I read the books. I'm like, why would I read this?
Yeah. We're recording, right?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
I just had a moment of dread.
We're around 30 minutes.
Okay, right. Yeah.
Wait, when did you remember these when they came out?
Yeah, I saw the first one in cinemas.
Did you?
Because I think at the time I was dating somebody who had read the books.
Okay.
A child. No, I'm kidding. You can edit that out. No, don't. It's fine.
No, well, I don't think the books are for kids necessarily.
Okay, right.
But these first two movies more so. But I'll say this, they nailed the casting from the very start. And the actors, the kid actors, know they're not great, but they get better. And the weird thing is, none of them turned into horrible monsters. Like, they weren't punching cops.
That's true. I thought you meant physically they turned into monsters.
Both.
Yeah.
And apparently Chris Columbus...
Some of the cast members got better looking.
Well, yeah. Well, Chris Columbus was also surprised that that happens. Because what other franchise is... Normally they'll either cast old enough where they can't turn into a monster, mm-hmm. or they cast young and then it kind of goes...
awry.
Askew in a number of ways. But the only one that did kind of go... bit off.
Oh, here we go. Here's a bit of judgment. Here we go. I wonder who James has a vendetta against. I wonder what.
Just wait till you hear the actual story.
Okay.
You familiar with Crab and Goyle?
No.
They're Malfoy's henchmen.
Like his hench.
Yeah.
Kids.
The bigger one, the wider one with the shaved head. Do you remember the London riots in 2011?
Boy, do I.
Yeah. So basically, a person was shot, and it caused these day long. If you're in London, you probably know this. It went for days, like this looting and raiding and whatever. And a lot of it was general...
This guy was behind it all.
Well, there was outrage and there was also...
If you love Harry Potter, you'll smash some storefronts and steal some TVs. I'm the guy from... I'm a henchman.
Well, there was outrage. Like, there was genuine outrage. And there was a lot of just, well, this is an excuse for me to smash stuff.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And this guy was seen brandishing a Molotov cocktail.
Wow.
And as a consequence, went to jail. He didn't throw it, but there's footage of him walking down the street with it.
Is it lit?
No.
He could have just said it was some sort of artisanal candle.
I don't think
you know what I mean?
I don't think he's...
That's what I would have said. Yeah. I was just in Fitzroy and I got this candle. It must be $90 and they'd be like, well, that checks out, doesn't it?
But even if he didn't throw it, that's still threatening. Do you know what I mean? That's like walking down the street with a knife or a handgun.
It's like a man dressed in a Hessian sack wielding flaming chains. Even exactly. If you don't use the flaming chains, still kind of threatening.
Yeah, that's right. Mm. So, look, I hope that dude's all right. But he did go to jail.
Yeah.
So I don't know how that turned out.
Was he just like, I'm just holding this for a mate? Or
No, he I think he admitted to it and whatever. And maybe he was involved in some looting. I don't know the specifics of it. But what do you think the story was, Mason?
Oh, God.
The first Harry Potter.
So Harry Potter's this little... He's a kid and he lives under the stairs of this awful family that I just want to die. I want him to die. Yeah. They're so cartoonishly villainous, but I just want him to die.
Yeah, Spoiler alert, by the way, for the entire series.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, go on.
And he lives under the stairs and I hate him and they treat him very poorly, very inhumanely. It's illegal. Yes. You would almost certainly think.
Yeah, there's a reason he's there, though. You find out later.
Oh, right.
I think, I don't know if they touch on the books, but the movie... They don't... I'm not sure they do in the movies, they do in the books. Anyway, sorry, go on.
No, hang on. What's that reason, though?
The reason is it's something to do with... It's the magic that protects him because they're related to him. And the reason he's invincible is because of his mother's love. And that's his mother's sister. So it's kind of... It shields him until he's 18. It makes him invisible and...
But why are they so horrible to him, then?
Because she resents her sister...
Being better.
Yeah.
For being physically superior.
Physically superior and there's a jealousy there.
Right. So anyway, it's bloody little ordinary kid Harry Potter, and then it turns out that he's the best wizard in the world. Yeah. And so the wizard people come and get him and they take him to wizarding school.
Yep.
Where he becomes the best wizard and the best at everything, and he's just everybody thinks he's the best.
Well, he is, isn't he, in a way?
In a way, he's just born to be the best.
Yes. And that's the story. Now, there's a mystery at the school, as in who's... What is the school hiding and who's after it?
It's probably magic.
It's two-pronged. Yes, it is. It's magic in both accounts. Mm-hmm. We talked about the cast.
Yes.
What do you think of the cast in general? Is there any you feel aren't strong?
All of them.
They're all not strong.
Yes.
They're all poorly cast.
No, they're not poorly cast, but they're not good at acting at this point. There's a lot of...
I'm talking like everybody, like Hagrid's and whatever. Yeah. Because I think it's superbly cast, as in all the teachers and background characters.
No, you're right,
and whatever. Except like Dumbledore is just dim and flat.
Well, that's why they replaced him, isn't it?
That's not the main reason.
Oh, sure. Okay. Right.
I remember at the time thinking, why would you hire this guy? He's 90 years old. It was Richard Harris. And apparently he was only 70. So he actually wasn't that old. But he got sick and he died just after the release of the second one. So they recast him with another bland kind of actor. I don't think they're bland actors. I just look at Ian McKellen's Gandalf compared to this guy.
Look at Ian McKellen's anything.
Agreed.
Magneto.
Magnetos.
Gods and Monsters. That movie with Brendan Fraser.
Waiting for Godot. All classics.
Yeah. Yeah, great.
But I think I think Richard Harris is a great actor. Mm-hmm. That's his name, isn't it?
Let's go with it.
Yeah. But I don't think he's a good Dumbledore. I don't think there's no spark to him. He's just kind of, you know, Dumbledore, maybe because you haven't read the books, but he's this lively kind of rangy and he's bouncy and whatever. And he's none of that any of these movies.
Is that his fault?
Yes.
But I mean, like, surely if, you know, J.K. Rowling has a hand in this movie.
Yeah.
Surely she's like, well, he's a bit lively in this.
Yeah.
Like who's fighting her on that? Who's like, no, he should be very...
dull.
Just kind of dull and, yeah. But doesn't he have a twinkle in his eye? He's got a bit of a twinkle.
I don't feel like he does. Maybe a little bit, but no, he looks older than he... Dumbledore's supposed to be like 100 or 90 or whatever.
Okay, sure.
But he just, I don't know, I just feel... I don't feel it. I don't feel it at all.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I think a big part of that is the Ian McKellen thing, where you look how great he is in Lord of the Rings.
Yep.
And maybe that's an unfair comparison. Because when I read these books, I imagine all the characters as they are in the movies, except for that guy.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Maybe that's just me.
I think it is.
Okay. But if you look at like McGonagall.
Yes.
What's her name? British woman.
I was going to say Frances McDormand, but I don't think it
is. No, it's not her.
That's a young lady.
Yeah. She's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to figure out who that is, and Hagrid's like right, dead yeah. on. Mm-hmm. Snape's amazing. Like Maggie Smith. There we go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like all round, really, really solid. But not so much him.
Yeah.
And the kids are kids, so I kind of give them a pass.
Yeah, they're just reading lines.
Yeah,
they've got the line in their head and they're saying the line.
Yeah, exactly. Although I think some are better than others. I think Hermione gets better before the rest of them get better. And then they all kind of catch up.
Oh, right, I see.
In later movies, but maybe that's just me.
Look, what I was going to say is having rewatched Philosopher's Stone,
yeah,
I didn't hate it as much as I thought I was going to on the rewatch, but I did quite kind of hate it a bit still.
What did you like about it though? What were the things that appealed to you?
Yeah, the whole universe is
as
great.
An adult man.
I like the universe. There's a lot of creativity in there.
A lot of heart.
A lot of heart.
Yeah, yeah.
It's fun.
Absolutely.
But what I didn't like is that just. There's a lot of weird contrived bits and pieces in there. Like there's that bit where, I think I mentioned this last couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
There's the bit where they all have to play chess.
Right, yeah.
And then Ron sacrifices himself so that the other two can go on. But there's no reason for him to sacrifice himself because he puts Hermione and Harry in place of two pieces and then he just climbs on a knight.
Yeah.
He just climbs on a horse and he's like, I'm going to have to sacrifice myself. No, you're not. Just get off the horse. I'm gonna have to sacrifice this knight to win, and you'll win. But I'll go on. But just get off the horse.
Get off the horse,
you idiot!
Also,
why doesn't he get off the horse?
I can't.
Does he not get off the horse in the book as well?
Yeah, he doesn't get off the horse.
Just get off the horse.
But it's kind of weird because the guy with the snake man on the back of his head,
yes,
had just came through. So did he play a game of chess? Did he get on the horse?
Good question.
Like who? Did the other pieces part? Did they step aside for? Oh, there's three people, so. Three of us will.
That's a very good question.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Well, that's exactly. It's the same syndrome of if you work for a supervillain, how do you get to work every morning? You have to go through past the
you
lake
have to
of
get
fire,
on the horse.
All the buzzsaws and the lasers and the little computer AI that's a little girl that's trying to kill you. You have to go through all of that just to get to work and sit at your desk and do some faxes or spreadsheets or whatever.
Absolutely.
But, yeah.
It's also. Do you feel it's one of those movies where the villain is clearly not Snape? Like, I mean, you probably knew this going
uh-huh,
in.
Yeah.
But like, it's fairly clear, even when Snape kind of goes bad in these films, that mm-hmm. Snape's not the villain. There's a lot of that in these Harry Potter books and movies where the good guy's the bad guy and the bad guy's the good guy. There's a lot of that. Like his godfather turns out to be good and Snape's also good.
Yeah, and it's
rat is a man.
And it's fascinating. Oh, yeah, that's right. He's just peeping Tom on everybody. Ooh. But also, what does annoy me about these movies is that it's nobody ever twigs that that's the case.
Right, right.
It's always like...
Dumbledore knows.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's always like... Harry Potter's like, I saw this thing in the forest and it was evil. And they're like, I don't believe you, Harry Potter. But you're just making
bad
trouble.
News.
Even though you saved the whole You saved the school last time because you noticed something amiss that we didn't notice, and you were right. Now you're just doing it for attention. You're just making trouble.
There is a lot of that, yeah. Oh,
and they, at no point, yeah. Like you go through like six movies and they're still like Harry Potter, just making up stories about, about
Chambers of Secrets.
Yeah.
Yeah, that you're right. But also, they are kids' books in a way.
Mm.
In another way, they're not. What about the special effects?
They're fine for that era.
Totally. Yeah. I think the practical stuff is really good.
Uh-huh.
But then you look at like the broomsticking.
Sure, right.
And it is, like it's a lot of green screen. Apparently Chris Columbus wasn't happy with that either. Like a lot of special effects in this. He was like, oh no, that's not good, but we have to release it. Anyway, this is the biggest movie of 2001, by the way.
Wow.
It did super duper well.
And the biggest
well.
Event of 2001.
I think so, in many ways. Mm. Did you like how the villain turned out to be a guy with a snake on the back of his head, a snake face?
No.
And he was like, you can't touch me, Harry. No, I can't touch you, or whatever.
When this movie first came out, I hated the fact that Harry Potter just wins every time because he's Harry Potter.
Mm.
The villain goes to kill him, and with no foreshadowing that I saw.
Yeah.
The villain goes to kill him and then he can't kill him because he's Harry Potter.
And then Harry Potter murders that man.
Yeah, that's right.
Turns him to dust.
And then he gets a million points for doing a murder, which I think is poor form and it's a bad lesson for your kids. Also, these first two movies especially set a precedent and a lesson for children, which is...
Yeah.
Just go rogue all the time. Just be a loose cannon, go rogue, do whatever you want, and if it turns out you're correct, you'll get points for Gryffindor.
But if it doesn't, you've murdered a man.
Yeah.
You've murdered a teacher.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. So, what's his name's after the Philosopher's or Sorcerer's Stone so he can get a body back and stop drinking unicorn piss or whatever he's doing, right?
Uh-huh.
So, a lot of these movies are... Voldemort, it's Voldemort. Not all of them. Some yep. it's not. But a lot of the stories is. But I like the idea that they build into this world that Harry Potter can't be touched by Voldemort. But then in the fourth book and movie, they flip it. So Voldemort takes Harry's blood and he builds his body from that, and so he can touch Harry Potter.
Oh.
Yeah. So maybe does that make you feel any better?
I guess, but I mean. Let's say these weren't wildly successful.
Yeah.
That would just mean there are a couple of movies where there's a kid who's invincible for no real reason.
Okay, fair enough.
Mm.
What about the three-headed dog?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Did it look good?
I remember it looking fine.
You heard it here first.
That's right, yeah. Put that on the DVD cover.
I don't know what else much. I don't really... What do you say about this movie? Because I feel like I don't really... have much else to go on to talk about in this one in particular.
Well, it does introduce another piece of magic technology that they should just use all the time, which is the Cloak of Invisibility.
Right.
Just use it all the time.
They do use it all the time.
They should use it more.
Yeah, fair enough. Mm. Do you know that cloak is like super duper important down the line? Like in the last movies?
Well, now I do. Why is there only one?
Because it's part of the Deathly Hallows.
Oh.
There's like three items and if you get them and death crafted them, allegedly.
Oh, okay.
And if you get them, you're the best in the world.
Right.
So there's a wand, which means you beat win every battle,
uh-huh.
Which Dumbledore has.
Oh.
There's a invisibility cloak, which means you can...
Is that just his regular wand?
Yeah.
Huh.
There's one that you can cheat death. There's a stone, which means you can cheat death, and you can... No, you can bring people back from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
In an astral form.
Who's got that?
Harry Potter in the end.
Oh.
But the way they build it in is works kind of well. Presumably Dumbledore has it. But,
okay.
But Voldemort only wants the wand. Because if you're powerful, you're like, well, what do I need a cloak for?
Exactly.
But it's good to have them all. Harry Potter snaps that wand and throws it off a cliff, though, at the end.
Oh, sure, right.
Yeah, yeah. Because if you've got the wand, people, like, murder you in your sleep for it.
It's like a jetpack.
It's exactly like a jetpack.
It's like the story of in the real world... The invention of the jetpack, a completely useless
burn your legs off
device that has been subject to all sorts of intrigue and people being
just murdered.
It's great.
Murdered.
Everybody, look up the history of the jetpack. It's great.
I will. Maybe we should do an episode on the history of the jetpack. And so, and with the stone that brings people back, it makes you so depressed because they don't like being back that they get all sad that you've dragged them out of the afterlife.
Oh wow. Okay.
That they get depressed and then you kill yourself. Like that's. That's the way that kind of works.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a great animation. You can actually look it up on YouTube. It's just that section of Hermione telling the story of the Deathly Hallows. Because it's ultimately what they kind of need to defeat Voldemort and what Voldemort's sort of after, sort of.
It's all a bit complicated.
It is a bit complicated if you ask me also. Well, let's talk about the Chamber of Secrets. Do you think this is an improvement on the first one?
Yes, I do.
In what sense?
The mystery is better.
Ah.
It works quite well as a mystery.
I think this story lends itself better to movie form than the first one.
Okay, right. Gotcha.
I feel anyway. Anyway, go on, sorry.
No, that's all I had.
Oh, but the mystery you liked.
The mystery I liked.
You didn't know it was going to be a giant snake. I mean, you probably knew that.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
There's some very slow action sequences in this one. There's a lot of...
The spiders?
The spiders, the bit...
Really?
The bit at the end where he fights Tom Riddle and the Phoenix very slowly...
Cruises in,
gives him a little... Gives him the hat and he has a chance to unroll it and there's some expository dialogue and there's... Yeah. You know, then the Phoenix fights the big snake and then Tom Riddle's like, well, it's he's blinded the snake, but he can still get you, can't he? There's a lot of exposition.
There is.
It's very...
Because you can't have Harry Potter turn around to check if it's been blinded.
Yeah, that's right.
So you need to...
Because then he'd be petrified to death.
But, I mean, you could see that in the shadow that Forks had... That's its name. Had taken out the eyes. But I think that was for the audience just to be like... Hey kids watching.
Yeah.
Don't worry, the snake. Gotta say though, that snake looks amazing.
I agree.
Yeah, that's a 2002 snake.
Wow.
And that's one of the best snakes on, I think, ever committed to screen. Though there's a snake later that's also good.
What about the film Anaconda?
That's a shit looking snake.
Yeah, agree.
Except when it vomits up John Voight and he winks. Do you remember that? Very strange.
Mm.
You know, actually, I think, and I might be wrong, Voldemort has a snake, right? And it's also got a piece of his soul in it. Right?
Oh, yeah, all right.
And I think it's the same snake that Harry lets out of the snake enclosure.
In the first movie.
That might not be true.
Oh, that's right. Harry Potter can talk to snakes as well.
But there's a
good on him. He can just do everything, can't he?
No, but there's a reason, though.
Because he's...
These movies do a good job, I think, of setting up... They really lay the groundwork for future movies. So a lot of the stuff that you're like, that's dumb, is... Not all of it, but a lot of it is explained. Like, he can talk to snakes because he has... a piece of Voldemort's soul in him. And Gandalf. Fucking
Dumbledore.
Dumbledore is raising him to be slaughtered. Like,
wow.
That's
brutal.
Yeah, because he...
Wait,
had,
by who? Voldemort?
Yeah, because he has a piece of his Voldemort's soul in him. Voldemort accidentally did that when he tried to
kill him. Right.
Yeah, and that's the reason he can talk to snakes. Mm-hmm. So that's why... So there's even a scene where Snape's like, what is wrong with you? Like, you're raising a child to be murdered. Uh-huh. So Snape's a good guy.
Yeah.
He just can't let on. He's just got bad hair.
It's unfortunate.
He's just got bad hair.
Some of the worst hair.
Yeah. Like...
Have you ever been on the Haunted Bookshop tour in Melbourne?
No, is it good?
Yeah, it's kind of fun. It's not a tour of haunted bookshops. There's a haunted bookshop.
Oh, yeah.
It's not really haunted.
Is the guy in Magic there isn't like real. Snape or something?
Yeah. The guy who does the tour dresses and acts and has the hair that is exactly like Snape. You go around all the haunted places in Melbourne. I recommend it. It's kind of fun.
I was going to say, is that great or grating? It's great.
It's initially very grating, but you kind of...
You settle into it.
You settle into
it. Good on him, man, for committing to it.
Right?
That's great. Is he a young guy?
He's probably in his 40s.
Okay, good on him.
He's old enough to own a haunted bookshop.
That's the dream, isn't it?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Well, no, I've heard that's good. I've heard it's really good, so I'm going to bloody check it out. But anyway, so when Voldemort kills Harry Potter for the second time,
right,
and he goes to train station heaven, you don't remember this, do you?
No. Well, you're thinking of the Matrix Revolutions.
I might
when
be.
When Neo's trapped in the train station.
I might be. But that Voldemort kills that own part of his soul and Harry Potter comes back and then he can't talk to snakes anymore.
Oh.
So people who can talk to snakes, it's normally associated with evil wizards.
Slytherin.
And Slytherins.
Mm.
Just pack them into one house, mate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just do it. What's the worst that could happen?
Don't spread them out.
Do you think there's a lot of OH&S incidents in, like, Hufflepuff? Because they're always just tripping over things. And...
Yeah, probably. Mm. They're cowardly but nice or something or whatever. Yeah.
The most visits to the school counsellor. They're just crying all the time.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not even sure what those other two are. I think one's brainy and the other one's loyalty or something. But that also might be Gryffindor. Gryffindor are all the best qualities in a person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But,
just have two houses and they're good guys and bad guys.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Okay, this movie, the second one also has There's a lot of people getting away with stuff because they're Harry Potter. Specifically, it's Harry Potter getting away with a lot of stuff because it's Harry Potter.
What do you mean specifically?
I mean, like, right from the start, so everybody's going back to Hogwarts.
Yeah.
And Ron and Harry can't go through because, little elf. Dobby, yeah, the house Dobby. Elf has closed the gateway.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
They decide to get in the car as
to steal
like
the 14 car.
Year old boys or whatever, to steal the car and fly it across England.
There's a lot of Ron screaming in this one, isn't there?
Yeah. Is Hogwarts in real England or magic England? I'm sure I probably asked that last week.
What do you mean by real England?
Like, if you're a regular person, can you go there and find it?
No, you can't. It's got enchantments, so when you kind of get near it, it's something like you realize you've left the stove on or something.
Ah, that's fine. Yeah. Okay, I'm on board with that.
It's a bit like that.
So they decide to illegally fly this car there. And so, you know what normal kids would have done?
What?
Just gone home.
Yeah.
I don't have to go to school. This is great. Right. This is amazing.
But they love school.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's school. It's magic school.
I guess.
Or you steal the car. Like, yeah, they could have waited for their parents to come back through.
Yeah.
There's a number of things.
Surely the parents would have noticed.
Yeah.
They're not there.
Yeah. Also, you wouldn't get in trouble for the door closing. You'd get in trouble for flying a car into a tree.
That's true.
That's what I feel.
But in a way, they didn't get in trouble for anything.
No, they didn't. Mm. Well, Snape was like, you're expelled. But then they were like, are they expelled? Because 50 points to Gryffindor.
Yeah, that's right. For innovative use of a coat hanger that you undo and you undo the locks of your dad's car. Innovative use of going under the dashboard and doing that thing where you put the wires together. Good work.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So the villain of this is a giant snake and a boy trapped in a diary.
That's Voldemort, right?
Yes.
Okay, good.
And that's the other thing I like. Like, again, it's...
How many people are Voldemort in this?
How many... What do you mean by that?
So in the first one...
Yeah.
Voldemort is the back of the guy's head, right?
Yes, yep.
So when he was killed...
Yeah.
Did Voldemort go into the diary? Or is it two separate aspects of Voldemort?
So he split himself... It ends up being seven pieces.
Okay, right.
One of them's Harry Potter, which he's unaware of.
Right.
And seven's a magical number or whatever. And this is all stuff you find out later, where he, from a very early age, he figured out how to split his soul so that he would keep living forever. Oh. So the first one he did was a trial where he put himself into the diary. So that part of him exists.
So that was 1/7 of himself?
Yes.
Okay, right.
So
when they killed Snake Guy...
Yeah.
No, wait. When they killed... back of the head guy in the first one.
Yeah.
Where did that aspect of him go?
Well, that's... I don't know.
Okay, right.
I'm sure there's a...
Wow,
there's
somebody a doesn't know everything about Harry Potter here.
that's... I'm sure people do know.
Yeah.
It's kind
Would
of
it
ambiguous.
Have been subdivided among the remaining bits?
No, that's the main kind of part of him,
okay.
I believe.
Right.
And it goes and he manages to become a creepy little baby. I don't know if you remember that.
Oh, right, gotcha.
So there's... But so any part of his soul potentially... can come back. So and that's something...
As long as you don't kill all of them at the same time, right?
That's okay. Right. So that's why Dumbledore knew that he was going to come back because he'd suspected that he'd done this.
Right, okay.
And
gotcha.
So the pieces are kind of hidden. There's one hidden in Hogwarts and there's one in a snake and there's one... They're all over the place.
Yeah, gotcha.
So the big kind of deal at the end of the series is you can't just kill him. You need to kill all his pieces.
Mm.
And he doesn't apparently know... in the books that it's happening because he's so stretched thin that there's not much of him left.
Gotcha.
As a person. But in the movie, it's kind of, he feels it.
Is there any particular reason he wants to cheat death? He just doesn't want
just
to,
a dickhead,
doesn't want to
die?
Just a okay,
big
right.
dickhead,
gotcha.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And how was he killed originally?
The spell backfired. Love.
Oh, I meant prior to that. Was he killed prior to that?
No.
Okay, right, gotcha.
No.
He's just been hanging around in the back of people's heads.
Yeah, or that one guy in particular.
Is that even living? You know what I mean?
Well, no, he doesn't love it, does he?
No. It's made a very big mistake, in my opinion, there.
But he also doesn't like that. He doesn't like being reduced to that.
Why'd he do it?
What? Go in the back of a man's head.
Yeah.
Because he needed something. He needed to get back to full strength, and it's the kind of the only way that he can kind of get there.
I feel he's made a tactical error.
But sure.
Must be an easier way to cheat death.
There definitely is. Mm. There definitely is. Well, there's literally the Philosopher's Stone. Like, the guy who invented that is just... He decides to die at the end, but he's an alchemist. And he's actually a real-life... He was a real-life alchemist.
Huh.
Nicholas Flamel. And then he ends up dying because he's like, maybe I shouldn't live forever. Maybe this is
probably could have just asked that guy.
Yeah, he probably could have. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's also time travel. Yeah. There's a bunch of stuff that you can, and that's more in the new story. Mm-hmm. But
anyway, in the second one, we've got plenty of Harry Potter going, no, I think there's a monster, and they're like, you know, Harry Potter, you're wrong.
I mean,
50 points for being wrong, sure, but but you just.
Did you ever think it was the giant spider or whatever? You didn't think that was
No. But also, that literally after that, so there's the scene where Hagrid goes, follow the spiders.
Yeah.
Follow the spiders and you'll get the information you need.
Yeah.
And then they go and they're almost horribly killed by a massive swarm of giant spiders.
Yes.
And then they go back. They're saved by the car that comes out of the forest.
Yeah.
And then Ron actually says, well, what didn't we already know? Like, we learned absolutely nothing except Hagrid wasn't behind it, which we already knew because we believe Hagrid.
Yeah.
Because he seems trustworthy.
And maybe you had that vision.
And if you went to the Dumbledore or whoever, if you went to Maggie Smith and you said, hey, we believe Hagrid's innocent. And they went, no, he's not. And then you went, nah, but we went to a giant spider who said he was innocent. They'd still be like, nah, he's not.
Look, 50 points.
Yeah, lots of points for facing down your fear of spiders, but we still don't believe it. It's completely pointless.
Well, Hagrid's an idiot, though. And he's kind of an idiot in the books as well.
Okay, right.
Because he was framed for opening the Chamber of Secrets, he never finished his schooling.
Oh.
And technically...
Well, so when he fills in a form, he can only say... like some high school.
Some high school, yeah.
You can't say high school diploma.
He's technically not allowed to do magic.
Right.
His umbrella is his wand.
Okay.
And he kind of, like, people kind of turn a blind eye to it. Mm-hmm. But he's not supposed to do magic.
Right.
And
so if you go to Hogwarts and you don't graduate, you're not allowed to use any of that magic.
You can get to, it's like their equivalent of like year 10. You know, in Australia, if you want to be a cop or join the army or something like that, you need to get to year 10.
Yeah.
It's a similar
thing. I mean is, if you went to high school,
like
if you went to like 7th and 8th grade of high school,
sure,
and you learnt maths and English and science, and then you dropped out, they still let you use the maths and English and science
you
learned.
Yeah, but you can't turn a man into a pig with maths.
Fine.
Yeah, I think that's what
I think
it is.
The best mathematicians can.
Probably, yeah. Yeah. What's his name? Elon Musk probably could.
Probably could,
Is he a mathematician?
Yeah.
I don't know. So, yeah, so there's a few people that exist in this world that, like... Flitch?
Seems more like trade Filch? School. Hogwarts is more like a trade school where you can be a qualified electrician.
Fred and George Weasley, you know them, the twins.
Yes,
one of them ends up dead. Spoiler alert.
Oof.
But they leave in their second to last year or last year before they finish, and they open up a joke shop.
Uh-huh. And magic can, jokes or regular jokes?
And they can do both.
Okay, right. Sorts.
Mostly magic. So yeah, you can go on to do stuff.
I'm glad that they have actually thought this through, though. Like, you do have... I was kind of hoping you'd have no answers to this. But you're like, no, year 10. Year 10, you get some sort of equivalency degree.
Something, you get your owls or something.
Owls
and your newts. I can't remember exactly. It's like, in Australia, it's called VCE or whatever. But, in Victoria, it's called VCE, I should say. Yeah, so there's reasons behind it. And then there's people who are born into non-magical families who become magic.
Okay.
Like Harry Potter's mother. Mm-hmm. Also, half of Voldemort is...
He's got a muggle father,
yeah.
Yeah.
Which they really look into in the books, which is actually really interesting. They don't really touch on it as much in the movies. And Filch, the groundskeeper.
Oh, groundskeeper Filch.
Yeah, he's what's called a squib, which means he's born...
which means you put him on yourself... And then you pretend to be shot and he explodes out of you.
That's right.
Wow.
No, he's one of those people who's born into a magic family and he's aware of it, but he's just not magic.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
So that also exists. It goes both ways.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. That's why he's such a prick. Well, it's probably other reasons as well.
Yeah.
But yeah. He's very for like murdering a kid or putting a kid in jail.
Yeah.
Yeah. This movie also introduces a couple of new characters. Lucius Malfoy.
The father of
Draco Malfoy. Draco's really good in this, by the way. He's a good evil kid. I feel like even from the get-go, he's pretty solid.
Yeah, okay, that's probably
for an
true.
Evil kid.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
But there's a bit at the end where Lucius Malfoy tries to kill Harry Potter. Like, legitimately kill.
That's right, yeah.
Because as Harry Potter saves the day and he frees the house elf.
Yep.
Remind me about the house elf. I've got a fact for you about that in a minute.
But is the fact that people seem to be okay with slavery in this universe.
That's touched on the books a lot as well. Okay. You know, all the food that comes to the tables?
They make it in little underground taverns or something.
And then Dumbledore, because everyone thinks that Dumbledore magics it, he just teleports it.
Guess what you could do is you could just make it with magic.
Or you can't. I think you actually, I don't know. It's very vague.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like clocks aren't real, like clocks instead of like...
Clocks aren't real, that's true. Time's just an illusion, man.
I mean, a lot of the time, instead of, like, the Weasleys have a clock, instead of telling the time, it tells you when the person's close to coming home.
Oh.
There's a lot of that.
Right, gotcha.
Yeah. Also, you get to an age where you don't have to travel. You can, it's called apparat, where you can disappear and reappear anywhere. Uh-huh. And you can do that at, like, your VCE levels. You can get to, like, 16 and you're allowed to do it.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. But, like, why does anybody do anything?
Why does anybody have a car?
Yeah, exactly. Well, he does it because he's... George Weasley's the head of Muggle Affairs, or he's in that department.
So he has to pretend to be human or something?
Well, that and he's just got a real interest in it. And he's got a fascination with, like, Muggle stuff.
Right, it's like nobody needs a hot rod or something, but you build one because it's fun. Okay, right. Exactly, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. But, but you can't do that in Hogwarts. Mm. That's got to... So you can't just teleport into Hogwarts. Like, not even Dumbledore can...
Right, okay.
But he can clap on a phoenix and disappear. That happens in the fifth movie. It's pretty sweet.
Uh-huh.
It's his finest moment in the movies.
Sounds amazing.
He bursts into flames. That's it's
his,
incredible.
That's his Gandalf fighting the Balrog. He claps and he disappears. Amazing.
It's really good. It's a really good scene. Because they come to arrest him.
Yes.
Because they're like, you're starting an army to overthrow the government. And he's like, I'm not going to go with you. And they're like, you better. And he's like, see you later. And he bursts into flames. Huh. It's great. And one guy's like, that dude's got style. And I'm like, yeah, he does. In that scene, at least.
Mm. They were like, oh, he used magic. We didn't expect that. We didn't expect the head of magic at a magic school. Who's the best at magic, who has a wand that makes him undefeatable at magic. We didn't expect him to use magic. I mean, next time we encounter him, we should have some countermeasures for that magic. What a bunch of idiots.
Yeah, I know.
That's what I'm talking about. But if you live and breathe magic, if your job is to apprehend people who can use magic, surely you have something set up to stop them using magic.
But he's a level above everyone else.
Right.
Like a lot of the people that, they're just government men.
Oh, so they're fine. Okay, right.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. Like not everybody is really good at magic. People are just kind of like, there's a lot of kind of like middle management.
Sure.
And he's the, like he's
middle
the,
mag-
middle management. Yeah, and he's the guy who could be like the head of the wizarding community, but he chooses to educate. Like that's his, and set up a boy to be murdered. Those are his passions.
Sure, right. But, yeah. Hang on, so what else can you be? If you can't be the head of a magic school, if you're really good at magic, what could you do?
You could track down evil magicians. Can just be like an accountant. You can run a shop.
All these sound not as good as being the head of a magic school. If I'm honest.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Also, there's not that...
Are there magicians who are just like out exploring the universe or something?
Yeah, there's a bit of that, yeah.
And in deep space?
Oh, that magic? I don't know, actually.
Does magic work outside of Earth?
Don't know.
Ooh.
Good question.
Maybe we'll find out in one of the millions of Fantastic Beasts sequels.
Absolutely. Anyway, Lucius Malfoy tries to use the death curse on Harry Potter.
That's right.
Avada Kedavra. Do you get it?
No, I get it.
Yeah. And... he doesn't do it in the book, and apparently the reason he does it because that's the only spell Jason Isaacs knew. But he was going to, because he only knew a little bit about the world.
Oh, right, sure.
But he was actually going to kill Harry Potter.
Yeah,
child. And he would have.
Yeah.
Because he's only invulnerable to Voldemort. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like you can still knife him.
Yeah.
Or put him on a giant horse or whatever and have it hit by a chess piece. But Dobby... is apparently based off Putin. His look.
Russian dictator Vladimir Putin.
I couldn't believe it either. But apparently this is probably true and Putin hates it. Apparently. Right. Look it up. Look up a picture of him.
I'll do it later. Yeah. I'll assume you're lying and then do it later and realize you're correct and never say anything on the podcast or to you personally.
Sure.
Yeah. But you'll think I live in doubt of that forever.
Mm. Dobby's also one of those characters I feel... he's incredibly annoying and I don't like him.
He's very unpleasant.
But he comes good.
He drops a cake on someone's head.
He does. Why did Harry Potter follow that in?
I don't know.
He could have just been upstairs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He could have just, anything.
Also, that almost got Harry Potter expelled as well. because they were like, "You're using underage magic, Harry Potter," and he's like, "No, there wasn't. There was a weird little frog man." No,
I know his name. It's Dobby, and he's an elf. And he told me all sorts of secret things, and I'm telling them to you now. We don't believe you, Harry Potter.
50 points.
50 points for lies, for very elaborate lies. But no, yeah, just believe him. At what point do they start believing him?
They don't.
Yeah.
And the other thing is because Voldemort's followers infiltrate the Ministry of Magic, mm-hmm. there's this whole wave of propaganda against Harry Potter.
Wow.
So that's what happens in the later movies. Like, he gets discredited by newspapers and the government.
Imagine if you're a little kid and you're just going to school, and then all of a sudden the Herald Sun starts publishing, like, hit pieces on you.
Absolutely. The other character in this is...
This kid doesn't... James doesn't... Mr. Sunday Movies doesn't pay his taxes. I'm a little kid. I don't have a job. Yeah.
The other character that's introduced in this is Lockhart.
Yeah, played by Kenneth Branagh.
It was going to be Hugh Grant initially.
Both of those characters feel too old.
Do you mean like...
No, I mean they feel like those actors, but Kenneth Branagh as well feels too old to be in that role.
Like the sexy...
Yeah, I feel like he should be more of a like a...
A Stanley Tucci.
No! Like a teen, like a Zac. It should have been Zac Efron.
I think that's too. I think you'd want to go mid-20s.
Yeah. But like, why? I don't understand all these kids who are idolizing this very old man. Yeah. I don't think we'd ever.
Well, Kenneth Branagh was a sexy man in the '90s, wasn't he?
No, but I think at a certain, like, kids don't, like, if you reach a certain age, kids don't realize you exist anymore.
Yeah, it's true.
You know what I mean?
Like about our age.
Yeah, exactly. It's amazing. We're not doing this podcast or whatever. Yeah, that's right. But I mean, it should be. I don't know.
John Rhys Davies. Like that kind of guy? No, not the guy. The young guy from Bennett Like Beckham. He's
yeah,
in
all
Tudors.
Right. Sure, okay. Yeah.
You know the guy I'm talking
about?
Yeah,
I know
he's like
an
Irish dude.
You mean that guy, yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Not the guy from Wallander, is what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying, exactly, yeah.
Branagh not handsome enough for you?
No, he's handsome, but he's, I don't know.
He was.
Like, he's that, when you look at that character, he looks like somebody who, like, I don't know, housewives would be like, oh, he's so dreamy kind
right.
of thing,
like
right?
Like a Jamie Oliver. Jamie Oliver. I was going to say Jamie Kennedy, but no. Well, he was...
Or like a, yeah, like a Hugh Grant. Like
sure, yeah. Like yeah. a younger Hugh Grant, though.
Right, exactly, yeah.
So he was like 40, 41 when he okay, did sure. it. So yeah, I see what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I don't disagree with you, Mason. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, it's amazing that he got as far as he did knowing... Basically zero magic.
Well, that's the thing. He knows one spell really yeah. well, which is the mind
the rubbery arm spell.
Yeah, the rubbery arm spell. Slap a person with your bloody rubbery arm. But that also sets up a...
Wait, the spell he knows is the mind wipe.
The mind
spell.
Wipe, yeah. Right, okay, yeah. Yeah, they explain it more in the books, and he actually shows up later. Because little known fact, Mason, well, it's well known, I guess, if you know Harry Potter. Neville Longbottom's parents were tortured by Bellatrix Lestrange. What's her name?
Helena Bonham Carter.
I said that wrong. So their minds are fried and they're in a mental institution.
Oh, I see.
And so what's his name? Neville Longbottom also has like a terrible upbringing, but nobody cares. Because his
sure,
parents
right.
are like, their brains are fried and they're just babbling away. In
Which
this,
leads
this
to the fan theory that Neville Longbottom is in fact this chosen.
It's not actually a fan theory. It's also in the books
right, uh-huh.
that it could have gone either way.
The fans of Neville Longbottom in that universe.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. Talk about a guy who got good looking, though.
That's right. Yeah. That's who I'm talking about.
Yeah. But what was I going to say? But they go to visit him and Lockhart's in there just scrawling his name and handing it to people. Like, he knows he was famous
yeah.
and he knows he's popular, but he doesn't know anything else. So he's...
Oh,
yeah,
I see.
It's
got
quite,
it. Right.
It's quite good. But they don't come back to that. So he never recovers. Like, but fair enough. He was trying to wipe the mind of a child or whatever.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Anyway, it's pretty good, isn't it?
It's pretty good.
It's not bad. Snake looks good.
Quidditch still makes no sense.
No, because you've got to get the thing. Just get the thing.
Why is there any other part of the game then?
Because...
Has there ever been a game of Quidditch? Because you get 150
yes,
points,
right?
Yes,
has been.
And then you win the game? And
then you win the game. That stops the game. But no, there has been...
Because has there ever been a game where somebody's where the one team has won more than 150 points?
Yes,
and they've gotten a snitch.
Yes.
And, oh wow!
It happens in the Wizarding World Cup.
It seems quite rare, though.
Yes. Why would you get it if you were down? Like, if your team's down 150 points, yeah. you wouldn't grab it because you're still going to lose.
That's true.
You'd kind of bite. You'd tread water until mm-hmm. you got up.
Yeah.
It's not a great game. Have you ever seen people do it in real life?
I'm aware that it happens in real life. But how does the snitch work? Is somebody the snitch?
Yeah, someone's painted gold and runs about.
That's not true.
It's absolutely true.
But there is a there's a guy in and they're like, I'm the snitch.
I'm the snitch, mate.
Huh.
Yeah.
Seems very odd.
It's all odd, isn't it?
Yeah. They could get a drone now.
Oh, yeah, they absolutely could. Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
And I mean, sure, some people would lose fingers in the helicopter
blades. You can
blades.
Get ones where the blades are caged.
Oh, it's enclosed. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but I meant that in a positive way. Like some people would lose their fingers.
Okay, right.
You know what? Get a bit of mainstream appeal.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Do you think there's any chance if we get flying technology that this will become a real game down the
yes.
line?
Yeah.
Like it'll definitely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Fair enough. Good stuff. And what? Look out for the quaffles or the bludges or whatever, because there's 15 different balls on the field or something.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And they all do different things.
Some are angry at you for some reason. Some will kill you. So
that was cursed, though. Do you remember?
Still.
Yeah.
I feel if it's capable of being cursed, you should ban it from the field.
Yeah, fair point. Well, you'd ban everything, wouldn't you? Because everything can be cursed.
And also, you could just fall off a broom and die.
Yeah, absolutely.
There doesn't seem to be any safeguards in place if you fall off your broom.
You get caught by the teachers.
If they're paying attention.
Yeah, and they're often not.
They're often not, yeah.
Yeah, they're really not. Also, it's weird that in Chamber of Secrets, they're like, we're going to have to shut the school. Like, is this the thing that's going to shut the school?
That's right.
What about the teacher you hired last year who had a snake man on the back of his head? You didn't.
That's
weren't
right.
going to shut the school then?
No, but then they checked everybody. They checked everybody, like checking for lice. You know, when they check for lice at school, they checked all the teachers for back of the head monsters.
Sure.
They were fine.
But that's what I was going to say. This movie also sets up the trope that there's a new defense against the dark arts teacher every movie.
Right.
And they get, they either get fired or they turn out to be a werewolf or they're a monster or they're a different guy pretending to, like they're David Tennant. It's not important. But you remember that one?
Sort of.
Yeah. But the reason is because Voldemort went for that job when he just before he rose to power, he went to Dumbledore and he was like, "Hey, I want to be the wizard. I want to be the head of defense against the dark arts." And Dumbledore's like, "You know what? I heard you're not a great bloke, so no."
Mm.
And because of that, Voldemort cursed the position, and so no one can hold it for more than a year.
Huh.
I don't know what happened prior to this year.
Yeah.
I don't know what, but yeah, but everybody only gets it for a year. Snape has it for a year.
Yep.
Yeah, they all can't hold on to it. And that curse breaks after the Voldemort is killed.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
But the reason also, he didn't actually want the job. He just wanted to get into the school to hide a locket, which had his soul in it.
Are there any specifics as to how the curse works? Does it mean they only hire incompetent people?
No, there's all manner. They hire Lupin, who's a friend of...
It's weird that they didn't ask Kenneth Branagh's character to do anything, to, like, do any magic. You know
yeah,
I mean?
Maybe it was a last-minute kind of grab.
Maybe the only test is they're like, can you wipe somebody's memory for us real quick? That's the test for everyone. And he's like, oh, he's going in there, like sweating. He's got the flop sweats, and he's like, oh, and then like, can you wipe somebody's memory? And he's like, yes, I can.
Yeah, you better believe it.
Mm-hmm.
But Mason, before we get off Harry Potter and talk about something that you're interested in...
kind of interested now. I'm going to watch the third one.
You can't yet. You have to wait.
No, but that's what I mean as a requirement of this. I'm not going to do it on my own.
But like I said, this they're really good at setting up the future. And the reason is because J.K. Rowling stepped in and put a lot of rules down that they need to follow by. So if you'll indulge me, Mason.
So there's rules to the making of the movies, but there's no rules within the actual...
There's absolutely rules.
All right.
So, like, the rat is around from, like, day one.
Yeah, okay. And it turns out to be a Peeping Tom creep.
That's
man.
Right.
Yep.
Horcruxes, as we mentioned, have always been a thing throughout the series.
Yep.
Sirius Black, who's in Azkaban and Harry Potter's godfather, who they think betrayed Harry Potter, but it was actually the rat, is mentioned in, like, the first scene. You know that bike that Hagrid arrives on?
It wasn't me. It was a man who turned into a rat, like... We've actually seen people do before change into things. Look, we've all got magic powers. Just believe me, this one time it wasn't me. It was a guy turning a rat. No.
Well, because
you're going to jail.
Because the rat man cut his finger off and left it there, and they thought that he exploded him, and that was all that was left. So the rat man got out of it that way.
Is the rat also missing a finger?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah, pretty good.
Very
right?
good.
And the reason he comes back, like he breaks out, because he's happy to sit in Azkaban because he's happy that he killed the guy that got Harry's parents killed.
Right.
So he's like, fine, whatever. I'll take the bullet. Until he sees a picture of Ron with a rat, and then he's like, shit. And then he breaks out. Right. And the Rat Man goes on to help Voldemort return. He's a bad bloke. Yeah. And then his silver hand chokes him to death. It's a crazy story.
It's a crazy world, isn't it? So it was fun.
But, yeah, but no, he's name dropped because that bike that Hagrid arrives on, that's Sirius Black's bike.
Oh.
So that's before.
Did he call it Sirius Bike?
Yeah, he
did. Okay.
But also, like, initially, like.
Can you still get a motorcycle with a sidecar?
Yeah, man. You see him every now and then.
I'd like to ride a motorcycle.
But in a sidecar?
No, but I'd die immediately if I rode a motorcycle. But sure. If I had one with a sidecar, there's a bit of extra
balance.
Bit
of stability.
There.
Can I be in the sidecar?
Yeah, you can be in the sidecar.
I'd love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
There's also been a switch on the sidecar, and if I push it, it's got a rocket in it.
Okay, good.
You rocket into the back of James Bond's car. That's how it works. Are you willing? It'll be fun, though.
I'm happy.
What a way to go.
Yeah, and exactly. If I'm going to go out, I may as well be that.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, they were planning, and the studio was initially going to combine a few books into one and do it as an animated thing, and Spielberg was talking about doing it. Like, I think he nearly signed on, but he also saw it as not really a challenge. He's like, this is a slam dunk movie.
Oh, I see.
Really,
right,
I don't
okay.
really want to do it. So
wow.
He did AI. But the
Steven Smugberg, if you ask me. But yeah, he did AI. What a slam dunk that one, that movie was.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He went and did a risk. Like, made a, and there's, you know, I think that movie's a lot better than it kind of got credit for at the
time.
Is
it good, though?
I'd have to go back.
So, no. If you thought it was good, you'd say yes.
No, you know what? I don't hate it, but I'd have to see it again.
Okay.
Yeah. But also, she put in place the all-British cast rule.
Mm-hmm.
They hired a guy called Liam Aiken for Harry Potter.
Yeah.
They hired him, and then a few days later, they fired him because he wasn't British.
I hesitate to ask this. But what's he doing now?
I have no idea.
Okay,
couldn't
right.
tell you.
It's probably for the best.
Robin.
Nobody look that up. Don't look up. Don't look up like Idol winners.
No.
Don't look up pop groups.
Like random? Do you remember you gave me their CD?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, don't look. Actually, interesting. A couple of weeks ago, I ran into, I met Andrew Levins. He's one of the hosts of the podcast Hey Fam, which is a podcast which is about movies and TV shows and comic books. And
what?
If you can imagine a podcast, if you can imagine this podcast but hosted by two cool guys, that's Hey Fam.
Okay.
As opposed to this podcast, which is hosted by only one cool guy. Which one of us is it? Who knows?
Is it me?
Look, I'm not going to say who it is, but if you'll notice that my baseball cap is turned all the way backwards.
Shit, I don't even have a hat.
Anyway, Levins is a DJ by trade, and he was saying that when they come to town, he's going to be like the support DJ for the Venga Boys. So he's going to be on that Venga bus, but also S Club 7, British pop group S Club 7, who are currently S Club 3. Right? Because there's no good way that comes out, right? Because either they'd all broken up and gone their separate ways, and the record company had called them all and said, do you want to be in this reunion?
Yeah.
And only three of them had said yes.
Okay.
So that's bad either way. Or various members, all various members have like left, and like the remaining three have continued to tour for like the past 10 years.
Maybe there's two S Club set. There's S Club
maybe there's
three
a three and a four, and they compete. They do opposing coasts. Maybe anyway. Yeah. Anyway, everybody should listen to Hey Fam. That's a good
okay.
Podcast,
cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. What was I going to say? So yeah, she had a condition of all British cast. So Robin Williams and Rosie O'Donnell wanted to be the Weasleys. And that was vetoed.
Huh. The Weasley, not the Dursleys.
No.
They'd be better Dursleys, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
So also, she told Alan Rickman Snape's backstory from the very beginning. That he was in love with so-and-so. So he always kind of knew
that.
That's
why he's got that twinkle in his eye.
Exactly. And also, Spielberg wanted Haley Joel Osment for Harry Potter, which ended up using him in AI.
Hmm.
But I'm glad they didn't go that way because I like that guy. I think he's a good actor, and he's kind of cropping up again. He's back, but the chances that they cast it this well and most of them lived through it or didn't,
right? Exactly,
or didn't
yeah.
bottle somebody in a riot.
Exactly,
is phenomenal,
isn't it? Though,
yeah, and I think a lot of that is because J.K. Rowling's went no, she didn't just take the paycheck, she set it up right.
Yeah.
There were rules in place, and this is kind of how it played out, and. Look, I know, like, we shit on these movies, but I genuinely
what?
Think...
What? I've been as positive as I can in this.
I think they're really great foundations for much better movies down the line.
I think you're probably right.
And they're good kids' movies. They really are.
Yeah, I guess had I seen these as a kid, I would not have been critical.
Yeah.
Everything would have been amazing.
Yeah, totally. So, all in all, I don't like him.
But here's to three more episodes of this, at least.
Yeah, good stuff. Mm. Anything else?
That'll do it, I think.
Let's go to the next segment,
oh,
Mason.
Oh, next segment.
What we reading?
What we gonna read.
I'm doing a thing. What are we reading today? I'd love to know what you're reading.
You know what I was reading this week?
Mm.
And I'm going to say on the topic of magic, but that's a very loose... You know, I don't know, I've mentioned in the past that I really enjoyed the Big Trouble in Little China comics.
Yeah, yeah, you're a big fan.
And some of them were written by John Carpenter, I think, and they're very much in the voice of Jack Burton, like the main character.
I need to see that movie.
But this week, I think what came out, and I read and I enjoyed a lot, was the Big Trouble in Little China Escape from New York crossover.
Oh my God.
Issue one, that's right.
How does that work?
It's Kurt Russell and Kurt, well, magic.
Oh.
So Kurt Russell's driving the Pork Chop Express, and... There's some trouble happening.
Good, good.
And he goes through a portal and he ends up in the far-flung future of 2001, where he meets and comes to blows with Snake Plissken from Escape from New York.
Who's the better? Who's stronger or better? Or
well, that's a good question. Snake Plissken is a killer.
Yeah,
like he's a moral free zone and a killer.
Yeah,
but Jack Burton has a certain. He's got great reflexes.
Je ne sais quoi.
Yeah, and he's got a certain... That's exactly right. And he's got a certain... He's a good luck charm.
Yeah, yeah.
Things happen to go his way. But it's fun. The art is great.
Are they like, you look just like me? Is there any of that?
Yeah, there is. There's
Who's
a,
the artist on that?
There's, a, ca- really there's a case of mistaken identity. It's Daniel Bayliss, who I don't know from other things, but he's very...
Really good.
It's very cartoonish.
Yeah,
Look at that brick-headed.
Yeah.
Look at that brick-headed Jack Burton. But it's fun. It's good, especially in the sense that they are the same guy being played by the same actor, but they're very this very distinct look.
Are they designed differently?
Yeah, they're very designed very distinctly.
Is Snake more live?
They're about. Yeah,
they're not both brickish, is what I'm saying.
They're about the same.
Okay, fair enough.
But it's fun so far.
Great.
I'm looking forward to it.
Good
the rest
stuff.
Of it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've checked out the first episode of Supergirl. Which saw
new
the
season?
New season.
Okay.
We saw this return of Superman.
And oh, yeah.
The first, sorry, not the return. He's just in it.
Uh-huh.
First of all, they both do really good jobs in their particular characters.
Uh-huh.
I think she's very kind of charming and she fits the role really well. And she's fun and, you know, you believe it. And I've said this before, he doesn't look the part as much as, say, Henry Cavill does, Cavill does, but he nails the old school values and charm and all that kind of stuff.
I'm sensing a butt here, and it's not just Tyler Hoechlin's amazing bus.
No, it's...
What's the bus?
Okay, look, it's just the same as all of these CW shows. Like,
yep.
There's a wacky science team and it's villain of the week and whatever, and there's the quippy guy and, you know what I mean?
And the handsome guy.
And so-and-so's fangirling out because he met his favourite character and whatever.
You've
and
not seen any of the previous Supergirl stuff?
No, I haven't.
Okay, right.
And I'm sure it's all that. But look, I'm not saying I'm not saying it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying I don't think I'm going to stick with it.
Is there any Martian Manhunter action in this one?
Yeah, a little bit. And he looks great as well. Yeah, look, everybody's good in it.
Yeah.
And I get why people like it.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think this is something that I'm going to continue with.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
What else am I? Hang on. There's some other stuff I've got. Oh, I've got Westworld and...
Oh, you checked it out?
No, I haven't checked it out yet. I've got to load it up. I've got episode 3 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. ready to go.
Apparently they explain... Did you see that tweet?
A lot of people have told me there is going to be a Ghost Rider. I'm going to say there's Ghost Rider's Dodge Charger versus Agent Coulson's Lola. There's going to be a race.
Absolutely.
I hope somebody's dropping their scarf to set it go to set it up. It's going to be Grease style, I hope. That's all I'm hoping. I don't know. What were you going to say?
I was going to say that somebody pointed out on Twitter that in the third episode, they use an EMP and somebody explains.
Oh, explains how an EMP works. People, we understand what an EMP does. Everybody knows.
And even if you don't, when it goes off,
you get it. Yeah. It's not a turn things into nighttime bomb. It's a turn off electronics bomb.
That'd be a good turn things into nighttime bomb.
Well, that's Dr. Midnight's.
Oh, is it?
The blackout bomb.
Does it actually turn the rotate the earth?
Of the earth, no. I don't
it's
think
just
so.
Like blacks
no.
out a room.
Yeah.
I guess that's all right then.
Yeah, it's pretty good, right? Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Mm.
Got anything else, or is that just, that's what
that's
you got it.
Maybe
up?
Next segment.
Great.
The classic one was letters, oh, letters, we love you. Now we're gonna do letters.
Good work, Mason.
Thank you.
I actually had some more What Are We Readings, but I'll save them for next week.
Oh,
Mason.
Okay.
I can't go past the letters thing.
That's right. Rules are rules.
Rules are rules. This is from Stephen Stankey, 88, on Twitter. If you want to reach the show, hashtag Weekly Planet Pod.
Please.
We'll pick out a few. I've actually got four this week, Mason, because there's a couple that tie in. What's the betting?
This is unprecedented. Except for all the old episodes where we just did like 900 letters every week.
What's the betting that in the new Power Rangers movie, someone's ringtone will go off and it will be the original theme?
100%.
Sure, yeah. Mm-hmm. I can't argue with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm still looking forward to it.
Me
you know
too.
What is interesting? Max Landis... I think
he is interesting.
I'm not sure if he's getting a story credit, but he went in and wrote for the initial pitch for it. Because, you know, we were like, this is Chronicle.
It is, isn't it? Yeah.
So he apparently like pitched this poppy kind of fun, kind of throwback, teens having a good time, kind of Power Rangers movie. And then he was kind of let go or left the project, bit of both. Mm-hmm. And then he turned around and they just made Chronicle.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So yeah, that's interesting. So do you reckon they got him to be like, do Chronicle? And he went, no, I want to do this. And then they were like, nah.
We'll just try that thing
we'll
you did.
Just do Chronicle. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Mm.
So.
I guess they were like, well, maybe they were like, you know what? Maybe they were like, well, he can come in and work his magic.
Yeah.
And he was like, nah. But then they're like, he's just a regular guy. Now we've got him in here. He's just a regular guy with weird hair. We can do what he does.
Exactly.
You're out.
You're out, kid.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're 30, however old he is.
Yeah.
Also, this is another Power Rangers question from Matt_Zunich. Thoughts on the Power Rangers / Justice League comic book crossover? Do you hear about that? It's on the way.
Wait, sorry. Say the first
Justice
one
Justice League and Power Rangers comic book crossover.
Oh. Yeah, I'd read that.
Sure.
Yeah.
It looks like the old school kind of Power Rangers costumes.
Oh.
No?
It's
comic form. So
yeah,
it's not, not going to
yeah,
be
that's
like
true.
Blocky.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. All right.
Robots hitting each other. Yeah.
Maybe we'll see the Power Rangers Megazord and the Superman Batman composite robot. Remember that?
Okay,
it's half
sure,
and half.
Yeah.
It's giant.
I thought they were just going to crash their space base into it.
Yeah, that'll do it too, yeah.
Because they don't have a giant robot generally, do they?
Generally not, no.
How do you think that's going to go? Do you think they're going to battle it in the sky or whatever?
Well, is it necessarily going to be versus? I mean, there'll be a
initially,
brief,
definitely.
There'll be a brief battle,
yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that'd have to be, right?
Yeah, I think it'll be, yeah, it'll be a fight in
I
the
think
sky.
Superman could just take the head off that thing quite easily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or just punch all the way through it.
Is it magic?
No.
Isn't it?
Oh, God, what if
because there is magic in that world.
Oh, yeah. But what if that's just technology?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Let's do an episode on it, but not know what's going on.
Okay, great. People love that.
Here we go. What do we got? This is from Sterling Ruiz, at Sterling Silver, and then an underscore on Twitter, hashtag Weekly Planet Pod. Listen to an old Spider-Man episode. What are your thoughts on a Spider-Man Daredevil movie? I want to see it.
A lot of people are keen for that.
Yeah. Do you think it works
no.
with the two versions that they've built at the moment?
No. Because it's just Daredevil is just... It's just a really long corridor fight. It's just a brutal corridor fight. Where's Spider-Man going to stick?
Yeah.
Top of the corridor?
Daredevil's way more street level than he is in the comics.
Yeah.
Or even the previous Daredevil movie where he's pretty much Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's very street level. He's not jumping over rooftops. He's struggling over rooftops.
Yes, he is, yeah.
He's scrabbling
he's
over
He's getting
him.
Stabbed over rooftops and falling into a bloody bag of trash or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess if... No, because even...
Couldn't you enhance his kind of swinging abilities and that would work more? But even then, he doesn't have the speed of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Like, he's got one billy club and he can... Like, Spider-Man can fire, like, multiple webs and he's got one billy club.
And Spider-Man's already in that upper echelon of Marvel heroes now. He's fighting with the Avengers.
Mm.
Daredevil's just... Nah.
I think there's a way to make it work.
Yeah, maybe.
With the current incarnation of Daredevil in particular, mm-hmm. I don't see how he would help Spider-Man.
Yeah, it's like putting the Bale Nolan Batman in the current Justice League. It wouldn't work. Or having him fight Superman.
Yeah,
wouldn't work.
Exactly.
Mm.
Yeah, but I'm not against it because I think they're a great team. Mm-hmm. I would like to see a Doctor Strange Spider-Man team up because they're mates in the comics. Spider-Man's coming in through his weird circular window and being like, what's up? Let's hang out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I wouldn't mind
and
seeing
And also,
that.
I kind of... The problem with this current... Well, it's not a problem, but with this current
Daredevil...
It's
a massive problem.
He's just... It's all grit and tragedy.
Yeah.
And Spider-Man's got some tragedy, but it's...
Mm.
I guess the idea might be that they meet up and Spider-Man's full of hope and optimism and Daredevil's just like, no, everyone...
Daredevil's being stabbed.
Yeah. Everyone who knows being stabbed, that's life in the streets, man.
In the streets of Harlem. Mm. Yeah. Mm. Okay, fair enough. Well, no,
is
Sterling.
The answer? Yeah.
We don't want it.
I want it.
Or we're okay with it.
No, I don't want it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. This is from at Ben_Bob118, hashtag WeeklyPlanetPod. I'd be surprised if you haven't mentioned this already, but Firefly thoughts, maybe you could do an episode.
Maybe we could.
I could definitely do a Firefly episode. Do you think we should wait until they announce a Firefly thing?
Yes.
So it could be anywhere between now and...
until the sun burns out.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe never.
Yeah, let's say, let's give it a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe when they announce, if they announce something, we'll do it. If not, we'll just do it anyway. Because it's a great show and or movie.
Yeah, it was. I enjoyed it a lot at the time.
Have you not so much now, Mason? Slap in the face.
I don't even know the last time I watched it.
There he goes. Wow, off again on his usual vendettas and rants.
I'm full of hate. That's the thing. I'm just full of hate.
I saw Serenity before I saw Firefly.
Didn't make any sense.
Yeah, totally. That movie works as a standalone.
I agree.
Apparently all
it's got the great Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Apparently all the follow-up comics are just kind of okay.
I read one.
Leaves in the Wind?
Yeah, it was kind of a prequel that it was about Wash.
Okay.
It's fine.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, that's
you
right.
You heard it here first.
Hate it. Vendetta. Settled.
Good stuff. I think that's all the letters that we got for this week, though, which means it's time for the end of the show. Oh, just quickly.
Yes.
I had an episode of Plumbing the Death Star where we talk about how we would take out Superman.
Oh, yeah.
In the comic book universe or movie universe.
Mm-hmm.
And that was cool. That was a lot of fun. Check it out, Mason.
I will.
Plumbing the Death Star. The other thing is Jose's having a bit of a rough time at the moment. Bit of a shit time.
Friend of the show, Jose.
Friend of the show, yes. I hope things are looking up.
Mm-hmm.
And what's this? Jason.
Oh, what's this?
At the real Jason Dell is getting married this weekend. Can you have a shout out?
Shout out to him. Congratulations.
He used to shout
out. Is he the real Jason Dell, though?
Apparently.
All right.
I mean, how else do you get that?
Right. That's true. That's actually
you have
very
to
true.
Fill out a series of forms.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Shout out.
Oh, also, there's a new Weekly Planet comic.
Oh, there is
Ben
too.
Davies,
yep. Uh-huh. Yep.
That's worth checking out. Mm-hmm.
Who are we fighting this time?
You haven't read it yet?
No.
Well, I won't spoil it, Mason.
Okay, great.
But it's good. I love it. I love the art. I love the writing.
Mm-hmm.
I love that we're in it.
Yeah, it's good, right?
Oh, also, there's going to be a Caravan of Garbage episode this week.
Yes, there is.
It's
on the YouTubes.
Correct. I'm going to put it up on the Patreon early, but if you just hang out till Thursday, it'll
appear
be
as
there.
If by magic.
Yeah, but if you want to check that out early, I'll put it up in the next
couple
of days.
And let me tell you, looks pretty good. Because of nothing we did.
That's correct. Yeah, but it's Star Wars related.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just leave it at that.
Okay.
Mason, let's just leave it at that. Anything else?
No,
do all the things that happens at the end of the show.
Let's see. You can find us at Weekly Planet Pod on Facebook and Twitter and Gmail and Bandcamp.
Yep.
I'm at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter.
I'm at Mr. Sunday Movies.
You can also follow The Weekly Planet for all the best Weekly Planet related news.
Yeah.
If you'd like to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/Mr. Sunday Movies. You'll get that Caravan of Garbage a little bit early.
Correct.
You can go to our Amazon affiliate link, which is in the episode description. You click through to go to Amazon if you want to buy yourself a bloody...
Mm.
A bloody...
It's anything.
Yeah.
And anything.
A huge piece of farming equipment that'd solve all our financial problems,
bloody
I feel.
Oath it would, mate.
You can buy anything on Amazon. It's amazing.
I should mention the Caravan of Garbage is only, it's only video format.
Yes, it is, yeah.
And you'll see why.
Yeah.
When it's there.
Because anyway, it's a video.
Yeah. That's why.
What else? What are we talking? Oh, we got some teas on teepublic.com.
Yep. That's linked below.
Yeah.
Yep.
All our amazing artists have put together some great teas.
Also, the sponsors that we mentioned, we're bloody into it. If you want to help the show, you can grab any of those.
Yeah, thanks to everybody who's done any of these dumb things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or even just listening.
Yeah.
Or subscribing and leaving a nice review
also
helps, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Is that everything?
I think that's everything.
Thank you, the Brute and the Basilisk and the Arrakan for all our themes.
How fitting that the Basilisk was also in the Harry Potter movie that we talked about.
Very fitting.
Yeah.
Very.
Very.
Mm-hmm.
And did you say you can, and if you follow at The Weekly Planet,
yeah, that's a good
everything
one.
We ever do goes up
goes
there.
Goes on there, yeah.
Not because of us.
No.
Because of good old Raw Collings.
Mm.
Crushing it.
Crushing it.
Just knocking it out of the park. Next week, Mason, what are we doing?
Oh, good question. Somebody on Twitter, and I forget their name, so I'm sorry, suggested maybe worst series endings.
I like that.
That might be a good one.
Lost.
How I Met Your Mother.
How did you meet your mother, my mother?
Came over to your house one time, she yelled at me. Probably, I don't know why, but probably for no reason, if I had to guess.
That sounds like her.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. Do you want me to hit her with a brick?
I've thought about it. She doesn't listen to this, right?
Let's find out.
Well, tell her to listen to this one, and I've thought about hitting you with a brick. Nah, she's all right.
Okay, maybe we'll do that next week unless something happens.
Yeah, nice.
Something else.
Cool, man.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Grab that gem, guys. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.